Let the rearrangement begin. That's good. Hey, that's how you know you've worshiped, when you got to move the chairs back around. That was good. We're going to be in John chapter 15 today. And as you flip over there, tell you a little rhythm. When I was at Mercer with the basketball team, one of our regular rhythms, those guys would go home for a couple of weeks, first part of August, and they would show back up the end of August, ready for school. And the very first thing we did as a team is we'd have a team meeting. And in that team meeting, Coach began to kind of give the expectations of the days ahead and how it pertained to the year and how it was going to help us accomplish our goals and do the different things that we wanted to do. And one of the things he would give them in that first meeting was a team notebook. And so as the operations guy, it was my job to build this team notebook. And we took those little 1.5-inch binders that had the clear jacket on the outside so you could put papers on the outside and kind of decorate those notebooks. And so we would do that every year, and Coach was very specific in what he wanted in there. He'd give me a little bit of freedom, but he's like, these are the components that have to be a part of this. The first thing that had to be on the cover design of that notebook was the 8 locations of the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. So little pictures of those buildings had to be on the notebook. He wanted them to regularly see and be reminded of, here's the goal. This is where we're trying to go. You got to see it and think about it. He also would have a verse for the year. And so we put that on there somewhere, and we'd have that so we would memorize that as a team, and we would talk about it a lot as a team. And so he would want that on the notebook, that they're constantly seeing that as well. But then the third thing he had was a word for the year, and that word was typically tied to whatever the verse was going to be. And so that needed to be on there as well. And so the goal was those 8 locations of the NCAA tournament, but it was the verse and the word that cast vision for how are we going to get there. That's the goal, but these are the things that we're going to anchor ourselves to in order to be able to work towards this goal. And so he would cast vision in that first meeting. He would talk about that vision throughout the year. And even on the notebook, the vision was cast, so that when you would grab your notebook and you would see and you'd be reminded of where we're trying to go and what we believe is going to be necessary in order for us to be able to get there. And so our time together today is going to be a little bit of that. We're going to do something that we've never done exactly before. We're going to do kind of a vision message here of where I believe God's got us headed, where our focus ought to be for this year, and what we ought to anchor ourselves to as we walk with Him, both individually but collectively as a church, and cast a little bit of vision for what He wants to do. Because vision is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination and with wisdom. And that team notebook was exactly that. He wanted you to dream about what was possible, and then it also contained wisdom about how to achieve that. Live in these things. That was our verses today that we prayed through. That as we live in the commands that God has given us, then we will experience the life that He has for us. And so today we're going to talk about kind of our word for the year. We've never done this expressly in this way. I've had a word before and we've kind of preached through and talked through and worked through. But I'm going to give you a specific one this year. And so with no further ado, since Doug's now here, I can get started. Our word for the year is connected. Everybody say connected. 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 The definition for connected is this: it's brought together or into contact so that a real or a notional link is established. So to be connected, it's to brought together or into contact so that a real or a notional link is established. So when I think about the word connected, and for us and how I see it as a descriptor of who we are that is the result of what we have done. So I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm just talking about in general. The reason why you are connected is because at some point, in one way or another, you made the decision to connect in that way. So Mandy and I are married. We are connected in marriage. Why? Because when we first met each other, I fell head over heels and decided I need to pursue her. And so I made an effort to pursue her romantically. In August of 2006, I made a decision to propose. She made a decision to accept. on July 14th, 2007, we made a decision to stand before our friends and family, to stand before Almighty God and make a covenant of marriage to each other. So we are connected today because all along the way we have made decisions to connect. Does that make sense? So we want to operate from a stance of I am connected. Why? Because along the way I have done the things that are necessary in order to connect. And it's important that we don't just stop at connect. If I'm going to be honest, I wrestled with, is the word connect or is it connected? And it doesn't seem like a big deal, but here's where I landed on that. To utilize the word connect, I feel like would be to stop short of where God wants us to be. So I can identify, yep, I'm supposed to connect. But if I don't connect, then I don't arrive where He wants us to be connected. So I can, it does good to identify that's what He wants from me. But if I never go any further than that, then it's not it. So the goal, the word, the ED on the connected would be those eight locations for the NCAA tournament. That's where we're trying to go. That's where we want to be. We need to connect, but we want to operate as those who have connected. And even the definition, at first glance, I wasn't a huge fan of the definition because of this word notional. Does anybody know what the definition for the word notional is? Well, you can learn with me. I learned this week as well. It means to exist in theory or as a suggestion or as an idea. So the definition is to be brought together into contact so that a real or a suggested or a theoretical link is established. Well, at first blush, I didn't like that because that flies in the face of what I just said. We don't want to just say, yep, we should connect in theory. That's what I ought to be about. We want to be a people who said, we've done that. We're living in that. We're operating in that. But as I began to chew on it more and more, I realized that's the process of it happening, that it starts out in theory. We read it in Scripture and we go, okay, God wants this to happen. So until I'm living in it, it's theory. It's suggested. It's what I ought to do. But then He gives me the ability and the freedom to decide whether or not I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to walk in that. And so this definition, it actually works great for us. Because here's God saying, in theory, this is what you ought to do. As a suggestion, as a command, as a direction for you, you need to be a people who are connected. But then He lets you decide whether or not you're going to walk in that. And so that's our goal as a people, both individually and as a church, is that we want to operate as people who are connected. Not just ones that aim for it, but ones who live in it. Our goal is to be brought together so that that real link is established. And so just like the Mercer Bears, they had a verse that went along with their word. We're going to have a verse that goes along. So our verse for the year is going to be John chapter 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now we're going to work on this verse as a church. I would like for us to learn this thing and commit it to memory. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to go over it in church along the way as a part of worship moving forward, is to commit this one to our heart so that we're able to walk as a people who are connected. And so we're going to identify in our this little series that we're going to do for the next 6 or 7 weeks, kind of three avenues of the ways that we need to be connected. As a follower of Jesus, you need to be connected to God, obviously. You can't be a follower of His if you're not connected. You need to connect with other believers. And then you also need to be connected to people who are non-believers, people who do not yet know Him. And we're going to look at those three avenues over the next 6 or 7 weeks through the framework of what we would call our marks as a church. And so as a church, we have a mission mandate, which is to bridge the gap between where people are and who God designed them to be. That pushes everything that we do. Everything that we do is designed with that mandate in mind. That's what we're here for. So every kids event we do, every Easter egg hunt we do, every time we participate at the Maddox Elementary, anything we do is with that goal in mind, that we want to bridge the gap between where people are and who God designed them to be. But as a church, we also have values. What are the things that drive and inform the way we go about accomplishing that mission mandate? And we've preached through that before. We worked through some of these last year when we did Bridge Builder. So as a church, we believe that God is worth it. and that people are worth it, that the church is worth it, that the mission of God is worth it, that character is worth it, that unity is worth it. And so we want to be about those things. So then we have marks. Marks are like the scorecard to help us know whether or not we're accomplishing what it is God wants to do. Is the character in the lives of the people who participate at Bridge City Church that which is honoring and glorifying to God? So over the next 6-7 weeks, we're going to work through those. We're going to preach and teach through those and help us better understand that if we are connected, then these are the things that ought to be present and evident in my life. And so today, we're going to start with that idea of connection. And so we're going to be in John chapter 15. We're going to read the first 8 verses together, and then we're going to talk a little bit about 3 truths that we see specifically about connecting and connection with God. So let's read together John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And then here's verse 5. This is our verse for the year. "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, for he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So our big idea today, right off the jump, is this. The essence of following Jesus is connection. Connection is required for any relationship. When it comes to a spiritual relationship with the living God, connection is required for that transformation to happen. It's because I'm connected to Him through a personal relationship, because His Spirit resides within me as a follower of Jesus, that He's able to do the work in me that He desires to do, a work that I could not do on my own. We need to realize and be reminded today in this place that everything that God wants to do in you and through you will happen via the connection of relationship with Him. Apart from Him, nothing happens. Apart from Him, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so God wants to reach each and every person to have a relationship with them so that they can live in everything that He's designed and created for them to be. And for those who have relationship with Jesus, it's His desire not to leave you as you are, but to continue to work in you, to continue to invest in you, to shape and mold you and guide you to be more like His Son Jesus. So let's look today with the rest of our time at 3 truths that we see about this idea of connection with God. The first truth that we see is that Jesus is the only connection point for true life. We see that right off the jump. Verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Now, this is the 7th I am statement that Jesus makes that we see recorded in the Gospel of John. Along the way, He's making these I am statements to help people know, both His disciples and folks that are not yet believers, who He is. In John chapter 6, verse 35, He said, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 8, verse 12, He said, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 10, verse 9, He said, "I am the gate." In chapter 10, verse 11, He said, "I am the good shepherd." Chapter 11, verse 25, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In chapter 14, verse 7, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then here in chapter 15, verse 1, He declares, "I am the true vine." Couple of important words here in this first verse. The word vine is important. In the Old Testament, the word vine oftentimes is used to describe the nation of Israel. So from the jump in this statement, what Jesus is saying is, "I am not the nation of Israel. I am not the religion of the people of Israel. I am something altogether different." He's also declaring Himself to not just be a vine, to be the true vine, implying that there are other vines and other opportunities out there that are not it. And so what he's saying is, if you want to connect with God, it comes through me. It doesn't go through where you were born. It doesn't go through the color of your skin. It doesn't go through how well you follow a set of rules. It doesn't go through what church you attend. It has everything to do with Jesus. And do you have a relationship with Him or not? And so Jesus is making clear that the path to God goes through Him and through Him alone. And the only way for us to be spiritually alive is to place our faith and trust in Him. That's how we connect. He reaches out and extends the gift of salvation to us. It's a gift of love and of mercy, and above all, it's grace, because we don't deserve it. We can't earn it, and there's nothing we could do to bring it about on our own. And yet, He offers it to each and every one of us because He loves us, and He desires to be connected with us through a personal love relationship. So when I receive that gift, when I unwrap that gift and I place my faith and trust in Him for salvation, that relationship is born, that connection has begun, and it's His life in me and through me. And it's only possible because of Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men. It's the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." See, the only reason we're able to be connected with God is Jesus. It's kind of like when you're trying to plug in a three-prong plug into a two-prong hole. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't matter what you try to do. It's not going to fit. And so you're not going to be able to have power and utilize whatever that thing is you're trying to plug in. But they've made these nice little adapters where on one side it's got three holes and on the other side it's got two prongs. And so I can take those three prongs and I can plug it into the adapter. And then I take the adapter and I plug it into the wall. And now it works. I have connection. Jesus is that adapter. There is a gap that exists between us and Him because of our sin. And there is nothing that we can do to make that connection happen. And so Jesus, as the mediator between God, who is holy, righteous, and just, and us, who are sinful and unrighteous and deserving to be separated, Jesus is the mediator. The job of a mediator is to reconcile two parties who are at odds. So Jesus takes us in all of our sin, and in all of our shame, and in all of our guilt, and He wipes it away because of paying the price of His blood on the cross. He atones for us. He pays the price for us. And He becomes that adapter. He becomes that connection point. I can now hold hands with the God who holds the universe in His hands because of the work of Jesus. True connection with Jesus leads to production of real fruit. Not only does it lead to a relationship, but the context and the idea of the relationship is that that relationship would produce God's fruit in my life. We see that in verse 2. He says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit." So Jesus mentions two types of disciples here. He refers to a true disciple who God's doing a work in their life and He's bearing God-honoring fruit in their lives because they are spiritually alive. And He also references a false disciple, someone who would say, "Yep, I follow Jesus. Yep, I believe in Jesus. Yep, there's a moment in my life where I asked Him into my heart," and yet their life has no production of fruit. Their life is giving no evidence and no proof of that relationship with Him. And so the emphasis of this idea in verse 2 is on the more of your life. The reason why, and it's striking to me that in both situations, both the true disciple and the false disciple, He removes things in both situations. If you're growing fruit in your life, then He prunes you. He cuts things away and removes things so that you can produce more fruit. But if you're not producing fruit, then He just cuts you out and removes you because you're not bearing more fruit. And so I think it's a good thing for us to remember today that it's about Him producing more. Not that He's produced once, but that He wants to produce again. One of the things we like to watch at home is we like the cooking shows where they travel. I like to be able to see how people live all around the world and different things they eat and all the kind of things. So one of the shows that we like to watch, he was at a market in Seoul, South Korea. And they come up to this one guy, this one vendor, and he's got a bunch of animals, fish and seafood things that are alive in the water. And so they pick out one that they want. And so they have this little like squid, octopus type of deal. And they pull him out and they chop off a couple of the tentacles. They immediately drop it into the oil for like 5 seconds. They pull it out. They put it on a piece of wax paper and they give it to him. And he says, "You want me to eat it right now?" And they're like, "Yes, right now." It was still moving. And he's like, "I don't know if I can do this." So he eats it while it was still moving. And I think that's a really good picture for us of the people who claim to have a relationship with Jesus. There's a little bit of movement in their life, but they're not actually connected to him. The tentacle was able to continue moving for a short period of time because it didn't know that it was no longer connected to the source of its life. Does that make sense? So for a little while, there was movement, but it was dead. It wasn't connected. And the same thing happens to us sometimes if we're not careful. There are people who would say, "Yes, I have a relationship with Jesus. Yes, there was some movement in my life." But as we look since then, there's been no movement. There is no fruit. And Jesus is saying, without fruit, there's no proof of connection. So if we're connected to the true vine, who is Jesus, God will do whatever is necessary to cause you to bear fruit. We alluded to that a minute ago. It's striking to me that in both situations, he removes things. He's at work. He, as the gardener, he's going to do whatever is necessary to produce fruit in our lives. We talked about over and over again as we went through 1 Peter that one of the purposes of suffering is to prune us so that we can grow, to refine us. Suffering heats up our lives to a temperature that is above what we would want to have and above what is comfortable. Why? So that he can remove the impurities from our lives so that we're left more pure than we were before. One of the quotes I came across this week is so good, speaks to this directly. It says, "God is ruthlessly determined to shape you into something much better and more beautiful than you are now." He knows what is possible. He knows how he's made you. He knows what he has deposited within your life, the things that he has planted into you. And as the master gardener, he wants to do that which is necessary to see that stuff come to fruition. So in the moment, it hurts. In the moment, it's uncomfortable. In the moment, I don't like it. But if I will trust the master gardener, the vine dresser, then he will bring about fruit in my life that only he can produce. But it happens only when I am connected to the vine, when I'm connected to Jesus. Secondly, we see that connection is necessary for life. It only happens when I'm connected to him. Look at verse 4 and 5, or verse 4 specifically. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." That word "abide" is another word for connection. It's the idea, it carries with it a fixed reality, meaning that it is at all times happening, that it is all times, that's the setting, that's the situation that I'm in. It's not an emotional state of feeling really good about my walk with Jesus right now because this happened, and not feeling like I'm clicking on all cylinders because I was really good at reading my Bible this week and I didn't blow up at the people that were in traffic in front of me, that I did well, and so I feel really good and that's me abiding. No. At all times, I'm abiding in him. Even in those moments when it doesn't go the way I want it to, and in those moments where maybe I'm less than what I should have been. But the idea is that it's supposed to be happening at all times. Because true disciples are connected to God. We talked about this just a minute ago, that it happens through Jesus, who is our mediator. That's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So what is that new he's talking about? It's the fruit of the Spirit. If we were to flip back over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, when Paul is talking about that war that exists within us between the old self and living according to the flesh and living by the Spirit, because God's Spirit now resides within me and I have the opportunity to decide which way I'm going to go. And he gives out a list of all the things that are works that only God can do in your life. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. All of those things happen because God's work in my life. And so regardless of where you are, if you are connected to the Father, regardless of how long it's been since you've seen movement and since you've seen fruit develop, God desires to bear more fruit. He never wants to stop. It's why Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So because Christ is within us, we have the ability to live rightly. But just because I'm connected doesn't mean that it's going to flow without me having something to say about it. It's like, imagine in your minds, let's leave February 1st and let's go to like May. It's nice outside, grass is growing, and you actually need to use your water hose. So you take your water hose and you connect it to the spigot. Great, you're connected. And it does you absolutely no good unless you do what? You gotta turn it on. So the same thing happened at salvation. I'm now connected to the source. And yet there are things that I can do to dampen that, to kink that hose, or maybe to just turn it off altogether. When I choose to live in sin, that's turning the faucet of Holy Spirit off in my life. My heart becomes hard. I have a hard time hearing from Him. I have a hard time wanting to do the right things. If I'm going to be disobedient, if I'm going to walk in sin, it's kind of like turning that faucet off. So how do I turn the faucet on and leave it on? I'm obedient. I believe the Bible to be true, and then I show that I believe it by living in it. And as I live in it, I exercise faith. And as I exercise faith, God does a work in me that only He can do. So the only way to be connected and remain connected is because Jesus resides within us. Like a sap flowing through a healthy tree, Holy Spirit flows through the life of a follower of Jesus. So true connection with Jesus is required to produce fruit. So He's the only connection point. He's the only true vine. And connection is absolutely required if I'm going to experience the production of fruit. And then the third and final truth we see from this passage is that true connection is proven by the fruit. Verse 6, He says, if anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and they are burned. So whether or not someone is a genuine follower of Jesus will be evident by the fruit that is produced in the life of that individual. So it doesn't mean that at every single moment of every single day for the rest of your life, you're like jungle gyms and you have every single fruit that the world has to offer. It doesn't mean that you're going to be in an abundance of fruit production all the time. There will be seasons of life where you're barren. There will be, like, a fruit tree doesn't produce fruit year round. There's a cycle to it. And all the right things have to happen at all the right times of the year in order for there to be fruit production. So it doesn't mean that at all times you're just overflowing with fruit. There will be times of barrenness. There's times where you're without. There's times of suffering. There's times of things. But it means that over time, that if someone were to look at your life, they would unmistakably be able to point to the work of God in your life and say, He's different than He was 2 years ago. I knew her before she met Jesus, and she's way different now. I was on a call this week with someone that was applying for Jensen. That was part of their testimony. And one of the answers to one of the questions we asked was for them, they said, yeah, this is where I really used to struggle. I used to struggle with anxiety and with fear. And about 2.5 years ago, here's what I did to begin giving that to the Lord and trusting Him with that. And now, 2.5 years down the road, does it still pop up every now and then? Yes, but not the way it did. He's done a work in me. He's changed me. And what she was saying was, He's produced fruit in me. The fruit of being able to trust Him and to walk by faith and not to give in to some of those things is different. So she's different now than she was 2.5 years ago. And the same thing is true for us. That is, over time, the fruit of your life will tell whether or not you have a relationship with Him. Because God does not hide in His children. It should be normal for His fruit to be visible in our lives. He did not move into your life to hide inside of you. He moved into your life to change everything about you. He didn't move into one room in the house. He moved into the master bedroom, and He's in charge. He desires to lead and guide and direct, and He wants to give you a full renovation. He wants to transform every inch of the house that is your life. You know, one of the biggest problems that people had with the disciples in those early days after Jesus ascends back to heaven, one of their biggest problems was that they looked and they sounded a lot like Jesus. So they were always arresting them and taking them to court and telling them to stop. And in Acts chapter 4 and 5, they're like, well, we're not stopping. This is what we were told to do. We have to do it. We have to talk about it. How could we not, based on what we've seen? So they didn't like that. We talked last week about Stephen. That's why he got martyred. They didn't like it. He sounded a lot like Jesus. He acted a lot like Jesus, and they didn't like it. God does not hide inside of those that He inhabits. He produces fruit that makes us look a lot like Him. And verse 6 is a warning shot. It was a warning shot when He said it. It's a warning shot to us now. Why? Because in verse 6 He says that whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in Me, he's thrown away like a branch. Remember, we've already talked about how the vine represents Israel in the Old Testament. Well, in the Old Testament, when there were metaphors and things talking about the vine, there were a lot of times there was judgment that came, and it talked about what happened to the vine. I'll give you a couple of examples. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, God says this, and now I will tell you that what I will do to My vineyard, talking about Israel. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall. It shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they send no rain upon it. So what are you saying? If you want to ignore Me, if you don't want to be connected to Me, then I will let destruction come. You will not be what I've created you to be. How about in Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 5 and 6? Says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I have given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set My face against them. Though they escape from the fire shall consume them, and you will know that I am the Lord when I set My face against them. So verse 6, it's a warning shot. If you don't abide in Me, then you're thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and they are burned. According to Ezekiel, that even in the throwing away, the branches that were not connected, that did not produce fruit, even when they were finally thrown away, at that moment, they understood that the Lord was God. So whether you are in relationship with Him or not, there will come a point where you understand with everything that you are that He is in fact Lord God. So why not go ahead and learn it on the front end? Let's be connected to Him. Let's have a relationship with Him. Let's be obedient to Him so that when the day comes and final judgment comes, we're found to be righteous because of the work of Jesus. And when our knee bows before Him, we get to stay rather than thrown away, rather than eternal separation from Him. Genuine connection with Jesus is proved through our fruit. Verse 7 says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. When you are connected to the vine, you begin to ask for what the vine wants to produce. And as we begin to ask for what the vine already wants to produce, He produces that in our lives, and we see our prayer life change. We see God beginning to answer prayer. And can I tell you, there's not much more fun than when we begin to pray things that God begins to answer. That's when life in Christ becomes a whole lot of fun. And one of the proofs of genuine connection to the watching world is answered prayer. And let's not forget that the world is watching. And here in verse 8, Jesus gives permission to the world to watch. He gives permission to the world to test you based on your fruits. In verse 8, He says, by this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. So as we draw to a close today, we finish with verse 8. Why is it important to be connected to Jesus? Because that's the only way to have a relationship. Why is it important to be connected, to let Him have free reign of my life? Because He wants to produce in my life things that only He can produce. if it's left up to me, I can do things for a little while, and then I realize I'm not able to do the things. But above all, verse 8 says, the reason why I want to be connected, the reason why I allow Him to produce fruit in my life is because the watching world will take notice. And it's in watching the fruit in your life that they begin to think, I want that. That seems really good. They seem to have it together when everybody else is losing their minds. I want to know why. She used to be really anxious, and now she's not. I was anxious 2 years ago when she was anxious. I'm still just as anxious. She's not as anxious. I need to know why. Tell me. Help me understand. The fruit of your life has changed in a good direction, and I want to know more about it. So as a church, this year, we want to be connected to God. We want to be connected to one another. We want to be connected to those who are not here, who are not believers. Why? Because we want to see them in a connected relationship with Jesus. We want to see their eternal destiny changed. For those who are apart, those who have a relationship, we don't want to see them left as they are. We want to see God to continue to bear fruit in their lives. We ourselves want to bear fruit. Because in bearing fruit through that connection with Jesus, God receives the glory. Verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified, so that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. We want to be a connected people. We don't want to be a people that say, we should connect. It would be good for us to connect. We really ought to think about connecting. We want to be a people who've said, we're connected. I'm daily and regularly connecting with Father God. I'm weekly connecting with other believers. I am daily pursuing and connecting with people who do not yet know Him. Why? All for God's honor and His glory. Let's pray together.